And let's just look at verse 1. Start. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now here's the thirst I was talking about. My soul longeth. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's what I desire. And I come this morning before you, a sinner saved by grace, just like you. No higher calling, you know, not like St. Francis. I don't understand that higher calling, that what they're talking about over there. We're just called. We're just called. We're redeemed. We're quickened. But God, give us the thirst. God, give us the Holy Spirit to initiate a heart that cries out for the living God. And I'm not talking to the church up the street. I'm not talking, because I don't care about them. This is the responsibility that the Lord has given me right here. You all right here. My soul longs. So this is the person who's writing this. This is the person who has seen the grace of God and has seen and understands his sinfulness, his iniquity, his vileness, his corruption. He goes on and he says, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, so they will still be praising thee. Okay, now we looked at last week in Matthew 5 when it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. That word blessed, it means gifted, it means happy, but it also means grace. So we're talking about someone who's been graced by God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. We're not talking about everybody, because not everybody's blessed. Not everybody's chosen of God. So we're speaking about those who have an understanding, who have been graced by God to understand the fact that they're even blessed. That's why the whole Beatitudes. Well, where do you see the gospel there? The first word, and everyone, blessed, blessed, blessed. That's grace. That's something that you can't produce. That's something that you can't work for. That's something that you can't earn. Faith is a gift of God. Believing is a gift of God. Repentance, all these things that people say you got to do to be saved. No, the salvation's already happened. If you believe, if you repent, if you have faith, it's already been given to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith, it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It says it in Ephesians as well, as the passage I just quoted. So this is what we're looking about. We're looking at those who are blessed. Those who are blessed. Now, verse 5. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7 specifically. But we're looking at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who, this blessed man, this blessed woman, this believer in the grace of God, who, passing through the valley of Baca, while they're passing, they try to make it a well. That's important. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now we're going to look specifically at a couple verses. We're going to look specifically at verses 5 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Now I'm going to read you the Amplified, because it's just a little bit vague. Listen to the Amplified. The title of this message is On Our Way to Zion. Where do I get that? Well, you kind of get that in verse 7, but listen to the Amplified version. Blessed, happy, or fortunate, or to be envied, is the man whose strength is in you, in God, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. What does that song say? We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, Zion, the city of God. That's what we're doing here. Today is Sunday the 17th, but we're marching. We're trying to make a little headway And we're going to make headway whether we want to or not, because we're all heading to the grave, right? So we are going to our destination, whether it's heaven or hell. We're moving that way. But these particular people who are blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied or graced, is that person whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Hence our title, On Our Way to Zion. Here in this psalm, we observe the difficult yet happy state of the child of grace. These pilgrims, as always, have been blessed or graced of God to sing the songs of grace in the night, to hum the soft melodies of peace with our God, and to enjoy the realized honey, says David in another place, out of the rock. And our rock is Christ. He says in the Amplified, passing through the valley of weeping. And that's what that word means. B-A-C-A means weeping. Some margin readers say mulberry trees and this and that. But it has the connotation of weeping. They're passing through this valley on their way to Zion. And they're passing through this valley of weeping. Yet they make it a place of springs or wells, or more appropriately, cisterns. And we used to have a cistern. We know what that is. You have to get water from above, or you have somebody bring it in. A well, like Jacob's well, you dig deep enough and you get water and it comes up from the bottom. This situation is more of like a cistern. But as we're walking to Zion, as we're passing through this valley of weeping, which that's the world, there's nothing in us for the believer, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings, with more grace. So we're going to look at that. I'll keep this marginal reading beside me. So here's the story. Here's the lesson in these two verses. We as believers, we've been blessed. And again, I say this because people today, religious people today, the Lord has blessed me. Like Bruce said last week, he knew a guy that was doing very well, had several businesses, was doing very well. The Lord's blessed me with these businesses. He's made me profitable. Okay, then however many years later, it got all shut down. He said, I'd like to go to that guy and ask him, is he still blessed? Because people, especially religious people, tie blessings in with things. And even though that is in the scripture, that's not what our blessings. Ephesians, God has best blessed us with all spiritual blessings. If you understand the gospel, you can be on welfare and still rejoice. Blessings, it's not what this world, and this country is really bad about this. This country is horrible about this. What we take for granted, talk to Jean-Claude, our missionary to Africa, and see if those people wouldn't want some of that. We have no idea. We have no clue what to extent what that's like down there. I don't want to necessarily know what it's like, but I want to be thankful, and I want God to make me hungry. Because in this state, in this country, in this town, whatever, it's very difficult because we have so much of everything. Everything. But now remember, these are those who have understand the gospel. They've been blessed, okay? These are they who realize our need of Him. Because he says in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in him, whose strength is in the Lord, whose strength is in thee. We realize we always have need of him because he's our strength. We acknowledge we have no strength but that of sovereign, gracious, soul-redeeming grace or strength. We own up to the truth and the unerring word that he is everything and we are nothing. And as I said before, so many times, that goes so perfectly together. When you think you're something, what's the scripture says? When a man thinks him something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself or she deceives herself. So that's our problem. We think we got a little bit of financial means or a little bit of this or things are ease or whatever. Woe to them, says the scriptures, who are at ease in Zion. Woe. Because usually when you don't have any trouble, we start wandering. But our strength is in Him. And we understand that everything and nothing goes perfectly well together. Matter of fact, he says that Bruce has been in John, the Gospel of John. He says, without me, you can do nothing. We don't understand that. Well, I can do, I've got a little bit of something to add. I can walk down this aisle. I can do this. I can do that. Well, that's false religion. That's false religion, giving the sinner something to do to think he can satisfy God. I thought the scripture says we were dead in trespasses and sins. I haven't been to a wake lately, but you go to the person in the coffin, what can they do? We're dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. So this is what we are. This is what we are. But the believer, as he's walking, as he's sojourning through, whose heart are the highways, who's in whose heart are the highways of Zion, as we're passing through Zion. This next verse is the verse that really caught my attention. Verse 6. While passing through the valley of Baca, or quite literally, the valley of weeping, the true believer is troubled on every side. Not 365 days a year, because we couldn't handle that. But for the most part, the true believer is troubled on every side. He's overmatched often in trial. He's never at ease in this world. Just when you think you can, and I know, believe me, I know this. Just when you think you can, you think you've got something going on, and you basically you cast your pearls before swine, and they turn and they rend it on you, and you're like, this person wasn't a believer. Why was I pouring my heart out? They don't understand. They may be religious, but they don't understand the gospel of God's free grace. Why did I pour my heart out? And I've done this too often to admit, and I haven't done it in a long time, but you get friends, you get close to somebody. They're not a believer. You invite them to church. They got their own church, or they got their own free will thought of how they can worship God. They don't need to come to church. And then something happens, and they say, you bummed out, and you pour your heart out. They can't help you. They don't understand. They don't understand. One, we ought to pour our heart out to God. But that's why this is family. We're called family of the children of grace. It's just the way it is. We're never at ease in this world. And actually the world, as he says in John 17, John 15, 14, all these places in the New Testament, obviously, were actually hated for loving, trusting, and living for Christ, which is our beloved. We have not been promised ease or a life without issues. I quoted that passage from old writer Jay Shedd. Ships in the harbor are safe, but that's not what ships are built for. That's not what ships are built for. They're built to go out and take on the winds and the waves and the beatings and the poundings. We know if we are true to our calling in Christ Jesus that we will be slandered, falsely accused, talked about, lied about, ridiculed, and endure tribulation. Because he says we're not above our master. We're not above our master who endured shame and death and even the death of the cross. This is just, we could look at scriptures. You know it's in the scriptures. You know what he says. He says, John and Bruce has been there in Bible class. They've hated me. He says they will hate you because you're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. You don't think. Why? Because you've been graced. Because you've been blessed. You don't think the same way that a worldling does. You just don't. And if you do, the Lord will rebuke you and bring you back. But we're passing through the valley of weeping. We're passing through the valley of weeping. So what do you do? What do I do? You keep coming here to hear the gospel. Keep coming praying for one another. Keep encouraging one another. But what do you do? Well, it's right here in our text. Right here in our text. Verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, or of weeping, make it a well. Oh, that's, I know what that is. That's normative appealism. That's the positive power of thinking. The power of positive thinking. No, it's not. Because that's not lasting. That's just a slippery slope. That's what we're doing right here. Every time we come here, every time those doors are open, we're digging wells. We're digging cisterns. And you do that for two reasons. One, you do it for yourself. Oh, that's, hear me out. You do it for yourself. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs, a place of cisterns, a place of... You think when Jacob dug that well, he dug it only for himself? He did for himself because it was a parched, dry land. It's a valley of weeping. So first thing we do is, what do? Here at Sovereign Grace Church in Jackson, this is what we are doing here today. And if the Lord gives us tomorrow, every time we gather together, we're digging little wells. We do so for ourselves. We preach Christ. We listen to Christ being preached. We fellowship. We pray. We gather together for our own encouragement, growth in grace, and to be made more like Christ. Now, to be made more like Christ, that kind of puts a little bit more importance on gathering together than just going to church. Go to church. It's because Mama and Dad went to this church, so I got to go to this church. No, better stay home, especially if the gospel's not being preached. Just stay home. You're not doing your soul any good. You're not digging anything other than your free will, free works, free this, free that, God love, all these different things that are false. No, you're digging damnation. You're working harder to dig damnation to yourselves. And as those who preach such doctrines are making people as wise fold the child of hell, says the scriptures, than themselves. But when you come and we gather together in this valley, we grow from different places, passed by a bunch of churches. But when we gather together in this place, and there's other places throughout the country, I could list a bunch of them, but we don't know of any of them in this area. Truthfully, you hear a few things here and there, but you know, it's like, well, what comes of it? And again, it's none of my business what goes on in different places. But I know if I'm preaching the gospel, if I'm preaching the truth, every time we gather together, we're digging a little bit deeper. We're digging a little more for the cistern to encourage ourselves, to be made more like Christ because we love Christ. He's our beloved. Songs of Solomon says, He's altogether lovely. The world doesn't understand that. I'm not going to go to the world to try to explain to them my relationship with Christ. I'm going to go to them and demand them and command them to come and hear the gospel, repent or perish. I'm not going to invite them or have an invitation or an offering for anything, because there's no such thing as an offering of grace in the scriptures. That's why these invitation systems are so bogus, because offering, it's never once worded in the scripture. Look it up in the concordance, that he offered to man anything. It says Christ offered himself up once forever. So I'm not offering you anything. I'm telling you, you believe this or you repent or you perish. That's the command of scriptures. I'm not going to tell you to go see a psychiatrist. I'm not going to try to play around with your psyche and make you feel good about yourself. No, I'm going to preach God high, holy, and lifted up, and man as he is, a worthless worm in the dust. Oh. The children, don't tell your teachers. I've said this. So they may put me on YouTube and may try to embarrass me with this politically correct nonsense that's going on, but I'm not going to back down. And as long as we have freedom in this country to preach the truth, and they have liberty to preach a lie, and they are. So as we're walking through this valley, this harsh world that we live in, we're going to just dig some cisterns. We're going to dig some, oh, to see Christ lifted up, bleeding, dying, and atoning for us daily, and resurrected, and now seated in the heavenlies. But there's another reason why we dig, when we gather together, we dig cisterns. Woe is that person who understands the gospel, and this is scripture. Woe is that person who has a light, a candle, and tries to hide it. Woe is to that person who has the gospel and doesn't invite others. Because this cistern, it's like those wells and cisterns in the Old Testament. It's like that woman at the well, that charlatan, that harlot, the scripture says, go get your husband. I've had five husbands. Right, you said. But wasn't she at that well? Wasn't she free to come and to take that water of life? So when we gather together, we don't lock those doors. They're open. We put articles in the paper. We invite people. We got to times of our services. We go out to the highways and byways and we compel them to come in. And if they come in, fine. If they don't, you've just heaped coals of fire upon their head. We're not playing games. But how can they hear of whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him who's not? How can they believe if they haven't heard of the gospel? If they haven't heard the truth? We got pamphlets. We got business cards. Or we got all these. Hand them out. Give them to people. They'll probably throw them away. I gave them to a couple people at work. And the guy, just keep after me, keep after me. I got thinking, I guess if I was a real zealot for religion, I would say, you got to come, you got to come. I've invited him. I see him. He keeps making excuses. And I said, I'll keep hoping you'll be there. Well, I'm listening to so-and-so on the radio. Probably next time I'll say, shut the radio off. It's junk. You're not hearing the truth. But, whatever. That's how do you deal with those things. For we do this for ourselves, but we also, secondly, do it for others. Who digs a well or a cistern in a parched area that does not also do it for others, weary and world-afflicted travelers? This is not my gospel. This is not our gospel. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, all are welcome. He makes the distinction. I can't see if you got an E on your forehead. I don't even go there. He makes the distinction. Why do we keep bringing our children? Well, let's just leave the children at home. No. We hope and pray one day the Lord will enable them by the Holy Spirit to get thirsty. And they'll hear something. And I know these children hear more than what we think. Because I remember years ago when I taught Bible class to the children. And I would say some things. And months later they'd come back and they would say it. I'm like, wow, they're listening. The children, even though they look like they're not, sometimes they may pick up something. So you just keep bringing them. Because we're not digging these cisterns not only for ourselves. But we need growth and grace. And we need to be made more like Christ. But for others. Who puts a candle under a bushel basket anyway? Who covers the light of that glorious gospel, the grace of God? It may be for our family. It may be for our children. It may be for our friends or for the wayfaring stranger, is what the Old Testament says. All may partake of this living water freely. I'm not going to put any conditions on that. He puts the conditions. He calls them elect. He calls them remnant. I don't know who they are. So we just invite them all in. We're commanded to invite them all in. Well, God's sovereign. He's on the throne. But there's more. Look at this. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessing. Now that's the Amplified. Now the original says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also fills the pools. Yeah, this is beautiful. Where does rain come from? Heaven. Can we produce it? Nope. Can we ask for it? Yep. But whether we ask for it or whether we receive it, who gives it? All according to the good pleasure of his will. God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. We start out with blessed. That was grace. And we're ending with grace. Dig. That's our responsibility. Invite people to come in. Share with your neighbor. Share with your friend. If you know, I don't know what to say. Just invite them. And that's one good thing, as I said, about this in this country, in this day and age, and preaching. Most people sit and listen. Now, I've had people sit and listen and look in ugly faces and mad and mean. They listen to the whole thing. They're accountable. They walk out. That's not my responsibility. Invite them in. But if anything's going to happen, it's not going to be because you asked them. It's not because you loved them more than somebody else. It's not because you prayed harder. It's going to be because God chose to reign for them. It always goes back to God's grace. It always goes back to God's grace. Who passing through the valley of Beca make it well, the rain also filleth the pools. You mean God's grace is sufficient to fill the pools? That word well or cistern, it actually means literally to be satisfied. And aren't we satisfied with Christ? I mean, aren't we truly satisfied? Yet if we cannot of ourselves bless anyone. Even the best efforts to establish a work or a church for sinners is nothing unless it rains from above. Unless the Spirit of grace lists this way. He says, I can't. The Holy Spirit lists it where it wills. We can't control him. Well, I've got the gospel, so God's got to bless. No, that's not that way. Preach the gospel and leave it alone. I'm not trying to coerce you. I'm not going to bend your arm. I'm not going to browbeat you. I'm not going to tell you if you don't give, if you don't do this. If God rains on you, you'll get wet and you're going to be filled. How does that go? My cup overfloweth. Of course, we're talking about God's grace. We're not talking about man-made religious stingy grace. Oh, you've done something bad, so God's going to... No, God never punishes you. God never punishes his children. He chastises his children just like you chastise your children. But punish? No, he punished his son. He laid on him the iniquity of us all, is what the scripture says. Grace comes down to man from above, not from within or below. And it says pools. Pools, that's plural. Liberal blessings. Our cup, through God's good grace in Christ, influenced by the Holy Spirit, overfloweth. Let's just look at a few places. Turn to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. And verse 25. These are people who are walking through the valley of weeping. They're walking to Zion. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Where were they praying? They were in jail. And saying praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Somebody else heard what they were saying. How can you sing and you got those irons about your feet and you're behind bars? I don't know, how could John Bunyan write, other than the Bible, the greatest literary work known to man, Pilgrim's Progress? He wrote it in jail. How? Why? His pools were filled. His pools were filled. Job chapter 35, this is one of my favorites. Job chapter 35. Verse 10, Job 35 verse 10. Where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? Who gives songs in the night? Is your night season, is it kind of tough right now? Is it kind of difficult right now? If things happen that you don't want to happen, wish they wouldn't happen, you're in the valley of weeping. We expect too much of this world. Don't expect anything from this world. Expect strength, grace, and help from God. But he'll give you songs in the night. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. The parched ground shall become a pool. That's to become a pool. That's what David is saying. That's exactly what David is saying. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, valley of weeping, make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. As hard as this sojourn is, it is a time well remembered in mercy. How many times have we gone through something that's like, oh, I don't see the end of it. And then the end comes, and then we're like, the Lord taught me some things. And you don't forget it. And you remember it well, the memory of the mercy. His wells, cisterns, are, as the word indicates, a source of satisfaction. What the Hebrew, a source of satisfaction. Only Christ can bless the means of prayer, of fellowship, of gathering together to hear the gospel. It's never the means themselves. He uses means, but it's only God who can bless and grace us when we come. That's why I ask God to give me grace and bless me to be hungry. To be hungry. We just dig. Just dig. Just be responsible. And ask our great Jehovah God to fill the pools. To fill the pools. You know, somebody may fall in. Somebody may be running. And little Devin. Bloop. Uh-oh. You never know. We just dig. Just dig. Oh, would to God he would fill the pools of free salvation in the person and work of Jesus Christ in Jackson, in our neighborhood, in our families, and in our many acquaintances. We must invite, we must preach, but we also must petition God to add the increase, or else nothing will happen. And that's one of my greatest fears. Is God done using me? Is he done using this church? What's going to happen? Be responsible. Every time I get the opportunity, tell sinners, saved or not, the only means of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. You come here, and I make no apologies about this. I've explained it to a few people, and most of them are not here anymore. But when you come here on Easter Sunday, you're going to hear about Christ. When you come here on Mother's Day, you're going to hear about Christ. You're not going to hear some soft, heart-wrenching story about Mom. It's not going to happen. When you come here for Christmas, which, you know, Christmas is historically, biblically, probably in October, but in December. That's Catholicism. But okay, we do it on the 25th. When you come here, you're going to hear about Christ. Woe is me if I do not preach Christ. That's why when we have our missionaries, he comes, he tells about the work, but he tells about Christ. Because I want to make sure I know what I'm supporting. I want to hear what he has to say and why he has to say it. So we invite, we preach, but may we petition God to add the increase or nothing will happen. Let others solve the mysteries of the universe. Right now, people are preaching about all sorts of stuff and their hearers are dumber having listened to them. They're trying to solve the political mess that this country is in. Or they're trying to solve abortion. Or trying to solve all these other things that do have their place. But not behind the pulpit. If we knew a family, they're just anti-abortion, anti-abortion. They come in here, you preach about this? No, I don't preach about it. Well, you're not. And then they started tying all these things to the gospel. I said, no, it doesn't go to the gospel. If you understand the gospel, you won't want an abortion. But to go and to pick it and to do all these other things is nonsense. And I said, it's nonsense. And that was about Melinda's email. That's about the end of it. I said, no, it's nonsense. Because what happened, and I've seen it, this person is so high on abortion, then they meet somebody else who's a flat, rank Armenian. doesn't know the gospel from a hoot, but they're anti-abortion too. All of a sudden, this person who supposedly knows the gospel, they start calling them brother and sister in Christ. And it's like, how can you do that? Well, because they have the same issues as I do in abortion. That's not the issue. I can't emphasize enough, that is not the issue. It's like that illustration I've told you, that Henry told years and years ago. Here's the problem. You go into a kitchen and you see water on the floor. You look up at the sink and the sink is clogged and the spigots are turned on full blast. What preachers are doing today is they go to get the mop and they're mopping and they're mopping and they're mopping. What the gospel does is walks over and shuts off the spigots. It's the source. You cannot legislate. You cannot make bad good. Only Christ, new creatures. And we still have that old nature we deal with all the way until we die. Until we're finally made perfectly like Christ when we see him as he is. So let others solve the mysteries of the universe. We will declare Christ and him crucified to a perishing generation. Just dig wells and ask God to increase. It sounds easy, but we struggle and we wrestle and we get sidetracked and we live. Life goes on. But may we not lose the fact, may we not live life and not acknowledge and be thankful for the giver of life. So, may the Lord bless the reading and preaching his word. We'll have Lord's Supper and then we'll have a meal. Bruce?
We pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have sure had a meal this morning. You said to come and eat and come to drink you. Lord, we have heard about you this morning and we come here and desire not to hear anything else. You have done everything for us. You have provided us our salvation. You've done something that we cannot do, and you've drawn us unto yourself through the Holy Spirit. You have died for our sins and paid for our sins, and there are no more. And it's something beyond anything that we can even imagine that could be. Because we know how we are in the flesh. We know what we think, what we do, what we say, what we feel. And we think, how in the world could you possibly take all that away? But we must believe the Word, and we know the Word to be truth, and we know the Word is all about you. And you've done all these things for us. And what an honor, what a glorious, words can't express the thankfulness that you've included us in your plan of salvation. For whatever reason, we know it's for your glory. But what a wonderful honor to be a part of your salvation. And here you sit at the right hand of God and you pray directly for us. sitting right there and knowing what we need more than anything in the world. We pray for so many things that we don't need, but you pray for what we do need. And you take care of us, and you provide for us, and you do everything that could possibly be for us. What an amazing, amazing thing. Lord, we thank you that we have a place to come to worship you. And Lord, we sound, I guess, like we're bragging that we know the truth. But Lord, we believe your word. And we know in our heart that that's the truth. And we leave nothing out and we add nothing to it. And we know it's about you. And we know it's the truth. And we hear things, Lord, and you make us sure that we know that that's not the truth. And you keep us from it. So Lord, we are so thankful that we have a place to come and hear the truth. We know, Lord, that the way unto salvation is so narrow because it's only about you and nothing else. So, Lord, thank you for being merciful to us, gracious with all your love and your care, and providing all things that we need that we live on this earth. And someday we'll see what this is all about. So thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, take, eat, this is my body. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many.